Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
On a Monday, this is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeart, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Monday, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. Jay Glazer's joining us in 25 minutes. Excited to hear that. Wednesday, free agency starts in the NFL. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. So, Antonio Brown, we were sort of waiting for this to happen on Friday.
Right.
And then it happened on, Sunday, Saturday. Antonio Brown is now a Raider. And, everybody is saying the Raiders won. They got the star. Poor Steelers. So let me just talk about the Raiders situation. First of all, this entire NFL, there's a salary cap. This is not baseball. It's a salary cap. So everything comes down to value. The current dynasty in the NFL is the Patriots. They get value out of everybody, including their greatest of all time quarterback, Tom Brady. He's about the 18th highest paid, 12th highest paid quarterback in the NFL, somewhere in the middle of the league. So even with their star player, they get value. There is no chance for the Raiders to get value with this contract. I'm not saying it's a disaster, but this is like buying a Bentley. You may say it's worth every penny, but there's no value with it. You're not getting a deal on a Bentley. This contract is a massive deal for a perimeter player. This deal only works for the Raiders because they gave up draft picks and they're a rebuilding team. Rebuilding teams don't give up draft picks. This only works for the Raiders. If Antonio Brown, for what they paid him, is great for 3 straight years, elevates not only himself but Derek Carr in the offense, stays healthy and happy, and is never disgruntled. A lot of big ifs. By the way, he's leaving a locker room that's averaged 10.5 wins since he's been there, and he's entering a locker room that's averaged 6.5 wins since he entered the league. You think he's going to be happy? You don't ever think he'll be frustrated? Let me ask any of you listening or watching today, ever worked at a good company? Then you make a little more money and go to a bad company? Gets frustrating, doesn't it? People around you aren't as better. Bosses aren't as smart. Coworkers aren't as talented. Okay, there's no value on this deal for the Raiders. They got a super talented guy, and they paid dearly for it. Teams that pay wide receivers that kind of money don't go far in the playoffs. Vocal star wide receivers are very similar to home run hitters in baseball. They're expensive, they're popular, they're wildly fun, and they don't do much in the postseason because you become dependent on both. You have a big home run hitter, and a baseball team just sits back and continues to wait for a 3-run home run. Then you get to the postseason and people pitch around him. That's why the big home run kings never end up winning the World Series. Same with superstar wide receivers. Even Randy Moss in New England didn't do squat in the playoffs with Tom Brady. You become dependent on the star receiver for your offense. Then the postseason comes, gets windier and colder, not as much a vertical passing league, and teams roll their coverage over, take him away, and you're sitting there as an offense going, uh-oh, Tyreek Hill, Kansas City Chiefs. Didn't he kind of disappear against New England? This is what I don't understand, is that you had Amari Cooper, and now you have Antonio Brown. Let's equate them to sports cars. Flashy, fun, not as good in the winter. So Amari Cooper had less miles on him, was cheaper, and had no previous injuries with the transmission, with the engine. Antonio Brown is older, had more miles on the car, way more expensive, and got into a crash recently. Why wouldn't I just keep the cheaper, younger sports car? I mean, there's like a salary cap in the NFL. There's a speed limit, 65 miles an hour. If Antonio Brown can get to 65 faster than Amari Cooper can get to 65, congrats. But they both get open, and they're both fast, and they're both flashy, and they both get first downs. This feels like the Raiders are just making stuff up to me. This was not a long-term plan. This feels like they're trying to sell tickets. This is not some well-thought-out plan. Antonio Brown wasn't on the market 3 months ago. They got rid of Khalil Mack. They got rid of Amari Cooper. They looked like they were adopting the New England Patriots style of football. Pay your quarterback, although don't pay him top five salary. Get rid of stars, accumulate draft picks, and have a really solid roster. And then all of a sudden this weekend, maybe the ticket sales aren't going well in Vegas. Maybe John Gruden's trying to win the locker room. Let's pay for a 31-year-old wide receiver who's got a lot of miles, who's got a lot of ego, and doesn't really fit the plan we kept selling to our locker room a year ago. I mean, I'm happy for Antonio Brown. You know, I'm happy for all athletes who make money. This is not an anti-Antonio Brown thing. But this only works for the Raiders if for all 3 years he's just unbelievable and there's no complaints and he elevates Derek Carr and he stays healthy and good luck. He's 31. Derek Carr's not Big Ben, though I like him. Their offensive line's not nearly as good as the Steelers. They don't have a dependable running game. Antonio Brown's going to get double teamed every good team they play. And my gut feeling is they become highly dependent on him because John's paying him so much, he's going to want 13 targets and 9 catches and 2 touchdowns a Sunday. Which over the course of time, you become dependent on the home run hitter, the star wide receiver, and it doesn't help you at the end of seasons. So, you know, you can say what you want about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They paid nothing for Antonio Brown for 3 to 4 years. They got him in the 6th round. And then when they had to pay him, they still didn't pay him great. Antonio Brown was underpaid his entire time in Pittsburgh. Then they got rid of him and got 2 picks. Now, for this year, a little bit of a, you know, capital gains tax, if you will, on that stock. They got to pay a big chunk of his salary for a year. But, you know, this morning everybody's poo-pooing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And my takeaway is, folks, the dream of every general manager in this league is to find a 6th-round player who becomes a Hall of Famer. And then when you actually do have to sign him, you still don't make him a top 15, top 20 paid wide receiver. All the Steelers did on Antonio Brown is get, and they didn't give much. I get why he's frustrated. Well, I get why Antonio Brown was frustrated. He'd been the best wide receiver in the league, arguably, for 3 years, and he's not getting paid like it. And they got him on the cheap coming out of college, and they just got 2 picks for him. The Steelers have a history of working those 3rd and 5th round picks into players. I put it up here on the board for our FS1 viewers. Since he came into the league, they found 7 or 8 guys after the 3rd round. 3rd round or later that can play. That's not the Steelers' issue. And I'm happy for Antonio Brown, and I think he'll be a nice player for the Raiders. But this deal only works for the Raiders if he is just absolutely happy and healthy and hits a home run for 3 straight years. There's no value in the NFL paying a wide receiver $16, $17 million. It's like a Bentley. There is no value. They may be worth it after 3 years owning it, but you're not getting a deal on the Bentley. The Steelers got a complete deal on Antonio Brown breaking into the league. They still got a good deal with his first big contract, and they let him go, and they get 2 more picks. I'm on that side. Let me shift to this. One of the great things about sports is that it gives us the impossible and the improbable. Things that would seem ludicrous become reality. If I would have told you a month before it happened, hey, Michael Jordan's the best basketball player in the world. He's going to quit and go play minor league baseball. Hot take, clickbait, you're just trying to get me. No, it happened. If I was going to tell you, so listen, Tiger Woods is 32 in his prime. In like a week, he's never going to win another major. Going to have like 30 affairs. Hot take, that is exactly what happened. Sports gives us the impossible. Hey, George Foreman. He's fat now. He's going to come back into boxing and become heavyweight champion of the world. Oh, that happened. That's why we love sports. That's why we love it. So there's this guard. He's a skinny kid. His dad was a decent NBA player. He plays at Davidson. He's going to come into the NBA, and he's going to revolutionize the sport. Yeah, that happened, Steph Curry. That's why I love sports. So Jeff Van Gundy's on TV this weekend. And he says something, and I love his courage to say something, which I agree with him, but it's going to get pushback, and people are going to rip him, and they're going to roll their eyes. But MJ played minor league baseball. The little kid from Davidson revolutionized basketball. George Foreman came out of retirement to become heavyweight champ. And Tiger Woods at 32, unraveled and never won another major. So here's what Jeff Van Gundy said during a Laker broadcast.
They have to rebuild this roster, right? And to me, it could be a trade, you know, for an Anthony Davis, or I think they need to explore trading LeBron for getting as much as they can.
What are you doing? Seriously. No, seriously, what are you doing?
No, you got to get on the right timeline. I'm going to say, if I could trade him for the Clippers into cap space, which would give me a better chance to get Durant or Kawhi Leonard, would I not do that?
Okay, LeBron James is not getting traded, okay?
You got to put everything on the table.
No, you can't. Mike, why are we even entertaining this, man?
Why? I don't understand how you would – why would you take anything off the table? You'd have to get a home run deal, but if you go to a contender and you can get a home run, you do whatever you have to do to get better.
You need a day off.
Okay, by the way, what do CEOs say when the company is struggling and they invite all the vice president in the room, men, women, old, young? Here's what CEOs say. Everything's on the table. Give me ideas. Folks, I don't know if you noticed this weekend, but Brandon Ingram, talented, not great, but good young player, has a medical condition that was discovered. He is no longer a trade piece. I talked to somebody inside the LeBron circle, and they realize he is now a Laker. He is not a trade asset. He's got a serious medical condition. Lonzo Ball, by the way, it was announced this weekend, is out for the rest of the year, meaning he has now missed as many games as he's played in his first 2 years in the NBA. They cannot trade for Anthony Davis. It's over. They don't have the assets. The number one asset they have is LeBron. The number two asset they have is Kyle Kuzma, shot 31% from threes. Their number three asset is, cross your fingers, maybe a lottery draft pick. You've got to consider everything. When the news came down this weekend about Brandon Ingram's medical condition and Lonzo Ball sitting out the rest of the year, they do not have the assets to land Anthony Davis. It's now about crossing fingers, hoping Kyrie Irving befriends LeBron again. Not going to happen. Hoping Kevin Durant leaves and decides to go to the lousy Lakers from the great Warriors. Not going to happen. Kawhi Leonard, no, put an end to that story this weekend. Again, another source saying he's not going to be a Laker. Klay Thompson, oh please, pipe dream. Folks, once the Brandon Ingram news came down, once Lonzo's out for the year, those are no longer assets. People are not clamoring for a C-minus Lonzo Ball with a daddy issue who can't stay healthy, and many people suspect is more bust than brilliant. And Brandon Ingram, very good kid, has a serious medical condition. No team's trading for that. You've got to consider everything. And LeBron is by far and away the one piece that could land you multiple draft picks and multiple players. Hell, there could be a team out there that would just want him for the merchandising, for the brand. But Jeff Van Gundy, tip of the cap for having the guts to say something that we'll get pushed back on. But Steph Curry, George Foreman, Tiger Woods never winning again, miracle on ice, that's why we love sports. Crazy stuff not only happens, it happens frequently.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, this is being reported by Adam Schefter. The former Patriot left tackle Trent Brown is going to sign a 4-year, $66 million deal with the Oakland Raiders. Highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. First of all, this is very dangerous by the Raiders because the Patriots offensive line coach is probably the best position coach in the NFL, Dante Scarnecchia. Everybody that leaves the Patriots offensive line, they come in average, they become great, they leave and they go back to being average. Nate Solder, New York Giants. We thought he was great for years and years at left tackle, went to the Giants, wasn't very good. The best offensive lineman they have right now is Shaq Mason in New England. Second best was David Andrews. And to prove my point, he was undrafted, and he's become a very good player. Trent Brown was a Niner. They bailed on him. They bailed on him. There was questions whether New England could get him to protect Brady, but Brady gets rid of the ball so quickly, you don't need a world-class left tackle. So the Patriots let him walk. The Niners let him walk. Good luck. You don't think Kyle Shanahan's smart? Let him walk. Don't think Belichick's smart? Let him walk. I mean, and here's the other thing. I understand the Raiders wanting to upgrade at left tackle, because once you bring Antonio Brown into the fold, he's a deep threat. And Derek Carr is going to need somebody to protect him, because he's going to be going for 5 and 7 step drops. The Patriots, Trent Brown never hurt them because they get rid of the ball so quickly, don't have a deep threat, Brady never gets hit. But if you bring Antonio Brown into the fold, you're going to be sitting back in the pocket waiting for him to break free. So you need a left tackle. Last year, the Raiders in the first round went and drafted a tackle from UCLA. They overdrafted him. They're going to move him over to right tackle because he can't play left tackle. So they didn't evaluate tackles very good last year, and now they're spending a fortune on Trent Brown, who Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick have said, no thanks. All right, I don't know. I got to be honest with you. It's sort of so Khalil Mack, let him go. Amari Cooper, very reasonably paid young wide receiver, let him go. And now you just paid $66 million, 37 of it guaranteed, for Trent Brown, who I don't think anybody in the league thinks is a top 10 left tackle. I'm not saying he's a disaster, but that's going to make him the highest paid offensive lineman in league history. Lord. Lord. That is something.
Here's something interesting. Studies show that security systems deter burglars. It's a fact. But there's still a burglary every 8 seconds in America. How? Well, think about it. Do burglars give up because an individual house has a security system? Of course not. They just find another house that isn't protected. And that's why securing your home is truly a necessity. So let me recommend a brilliant security system built by our friends at SimpliSafe. They believe fear has no place in a place like home. They made their system really smart. Sensors protect every point of access. Doors, windows, garage, you name it. If a burglar did break in, an ear-shattering siren lets them know police are already on the way. Best of all, 24/7 monitoring at SimpliSafe is just $14.99 a month, and they'll never, ever lock you into a long-term contract. More than 3 million people already know how it feels good to fear less with SimpliSafe. Go with the only security system we trust, SimpliSafe. Get free shipping, too, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to SimpliSafe.com/herd. SimpliSafe.com/herd.
Let's bring on Jay Glazer. Jay, let's get in here. I got questions. Jay Glazer, NFL insider.
Hello.
Hey. Unbreakable Performance Center.
I got to unbutton this. Strahan always yells at me that I'm going to knock your eye out with my button.
No, that's okay. Yeah. You're ripped. Okay, so it's interesting. Let's start with a year ago. I sort of saw what Gruden was doing. All right, I'm not going to pay for stars outside of my quarterback. Accumulate draft picks. Almost a New England feel to it. And now, in the last 48 hours,
right.
Antonio Brown, Trent Brown, is he? It feels like they're making it up as they go.
I kind of looks like, because you look at it and go, well, do they really have this plan in place when they got rid of Khalil Mack? No, absolutely not. But also, Antonio Brown fell into their laps, right? An Antonio Brown deal where, you know, they look at it and go, you know, the Steelers, their ego got in the way here, because this was not enough for Antonio Brown. A 3 and a 5 was not enough for an Antonio Brown. So they all of a sudden get an Antonio Brown. Then they go and they get a left tackle who, you know, to make him the highest paid left tackle in the NFL. When we saw what happened last year when Nate Solder left, when he didn't have Tom Brady, make him look a lot better. You have to say, oh, okay. Well, they're kind of using money over there. And then you talked about already, I think, with Le'Veon Bell. They're in the Le'Veon Bell market here. They have all these number one picks they could use to dangle to get other high-priced free agents as well, or you know, go trade for somebody. But I agree with you. I think Mike Mack will have a plan. I don't think John Gruden never had a plan, no.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like a plan.
No. This feels like, hey, this just fell into our laps. Let's do it. Fantastic. It's Happy Hanukkah for the Raiders.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, let me – John Gruden is an interesting guy. If I was a cynic – and I just said, listen.
If you were a cynic?
Okay, I'm a cynic. Lame Duck Stadium. They've got to sell tickets in Vegas that now has a wildly popular hockey team.
Right.
They got to step on him. This is not a high-revenue team. Could I make the argument that Antonio Brown is as much about selling tickets as he is about football? I mean, by the way, Khalil Mack's great. I'm not sure he sells a bunch of tickets. Antonio Brown sells tickets.
Yeah, I think they do have to look at it business-wise, and they have. Look, in the past, when they got Marshawn Lynch, they got him because, like, we still need to sell tickets while we're still in Oakland,
right,
even though we're a lame duck team here.
Right.
Same type of thing, yeah. But, no, Antonio Brown, here's the bottom line. Talent-wise, he is one of the top three in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
He is incredibly talented. I will say this, and people forget this. When Antonio Brown did his Instagram Live or Facebook Live, whatever it was, from their locker room, the team fined him. But at that time, and we said it on Fox NFL Sunday, that the Steelers said, hey, this is making his rope here a lot shorter. Like, we're not going to handle, we're not going to put up for a lot more. And he knows that. But at the time, I think he looked at it like, I don't want to ever want to leave the Steelers. It's a place in my home. I don't want. So they had a little bit more swagger, if you will, with that. Eventually, it became, okay, then get rid of me. I'm good. What this does, it does a couple things. One, all the other receivers right now, they're going, oh, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the money. But it also could mess things up as far as, look, Cowboys traded one for Amari Cooper. Now these guys traded 3 and 5 for Antonio Brown. So teams, I think, that were going to try and hope to get a much bigger bounty, this could bring that down and almost temper what teams are now going to go and try and get.
It used to be, Jay, it was kind of foolish man's territory to spend a lot of money in free agency and trades. Eagles did it, won a Super Bowl.
And we talked about that last year. All of a sudden, it's going to be
Rams did it.
Yeah, it's going to be copycat, absolutely.
And it does feel like in the last 2 to 3 years, it feels a little like the NBA free agency where it's like, hey,
yep,
it's working. I mean, this is, say what you want. I'm actually shocked Le'Veon Bell hasn't signed somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not shocked he hasn't signed anywhere yet because Le'Veon Bell, they're going to have to get the best financial deal possible to show everybody it made sense for us to sit out. They've got to get that. Even if the way they structure it on the surface, it has to look like we made up that money from last year and then something.
So Le'Veon's people are not going to take a discount deal.
Oh, my God. If they do, then
they'll look terrible.
Oh, my God.
Because they already gave up $12 million, $15 million.
For malpractice. Yeah.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Do you have a sense? I just read a story this morning that there's people inside the Jets building. They just
kind
feel.
Split. Yeah.
What do you make of Le'Veon?
I think a lot of teams are afraid. Look, there's a couple things. Number one, no one's seen Le'Veon Bell. So they do got to look at him also. They got to make sure, okay, this guy just hasn't been down there in South Beach and hanging out doing whatever. Talent-wise, he's a different weapon. He's a difference maker in this league. Absolute difference maker in the NFL. So I do think that teams are going to be in. They're going to want him. But their fear is, man, they're really going to want this huge deal that shows everybody this is why we sat out. And it's going to be a ridiculous deal. But, you know, it only takes one. It's all it takes. It just takes one to give you that kind of money.
Okay, we got to – don't go anywhere, Jay. We got a Kyler Murray situation.
Yep.
All right, Raiders made a huge deal today. Trent Brown, Patriot left tackle, is now the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. The Raiders bring him over. I thought he was the third best offensive lineman for the Patriots this year. Shaq Mason was terrific. David Andrews, undrafted, became a great center for them. Dante Scarnecchia.
Yep.
Beware
of
acquiring Patriot offensive linemen. They tend to erode the minute they leave Foxborough because they have the best offensive line coach, perhaps in NFL history.
And the best quarterback in NFL history who gets rid of the ball real fast.
Yep. So Jay Glazer joining us. Couple of things here. So I said this last week. When you break a story or when you have a strong opinion, I always believe it. I can't say that for everybody in this business, NBA or NFL or baseball reporters. But you have said, the Giants have said, you know, Odell Beckham's not on the trade block and you will not back down. You have said... exactly what?
Oh, I was asked to make a bold prediction for the offseason. I said my bold prediction would be that the Giants will trade Odell Beckham this offseason.
And you won't back down from it.
It's my prediction. And then Dave Gettleman, obviously he's come out and he said, I didn't sign him to trade him. That's correct. He didn't sign him to trade him. But things change, right? Now, where they are with Odell Beckham, they're not going to go, and that's where I said like the Antonio Brown thing could screw things up there. Because they're not going to get rid of him for 3 and 5. Absolutely not. And the talks they have had with other teams. And yes, teams have absolutely called and talked to the Giants.
And they'll take the calls.
And they've taken the calls, and they've had conversations. It's not been, no, he's not on the block, click. It's not been that at all. Okay, so just for everybody out there saying that, oh, they're not going to do it, they're certainly listening. But their asking price right now is ridiculous for him. And I think they'll look at the AB and go, well, that's a ridiculous price as well. You got to see if, you know, if things kind of calm down on both ends, what their asking price is and what, you know, the AB price was so low, I think they've got to find something else there. But you know, sometimes it's just a change of scenery is good for both sides.
It's very possible. And I talked to Odell Beckham about a month ago, very engaging, good listener.
You said you were in Utah. Were you guys like skiing together?
No, I was skiing and I got a call.
You guys were around the fire having some hot cocoa?
I got a text said, Odell Beckham wants to talk to you about something you'd said. We had a great conversation. And, you know, he told me his frustrations. And after I hung the phone up, or what do you call that when you can see him? It's the
FaceTime.
FaceTime. Sorry.
Oh, so it was, are you not educating him here on technology?
I try.
So this is your job.
I try.
So it was FaceTime, and after we hung up,
FaceTime.
My takeaway was he could really do with a new team. Yeah. It wasn't anti-Giants or anti-Odell. It was emotionally, he could really use a new start.
I think all sides, that's what it is. There's no animosity. There's no hate.
Right.
Sometimes it's just time for a change of scenery. Remember now, last year, they were talking about moving on last year from him, right, when he wanted a new deal. And there was a lot that John Maurer was saying. Pat Shurmur was the one who went in there and said, no, I want him. Let's salvage this. Let's save him. I want him here. And there were a lot of teams. The Rams were interested. The Patriots were interested. There were teams they were talking to and they were looking at. But Pat Shurmur was like, just let me have him. I know I could do this. And it's just,
by the way,
it didn't arise.
What happened at the end of last year, Jay? He didn't play.
Didn't play. And what happened?
Giants played well.
Giants played very well. I just think it's an energy thing that, look, he's a incredible talent.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Athletically, look, we've had a lot of players come in and out of Unbreakable over the years, our gym. There's nothing like this cat ever. I've never seen anything. It's unreal what he does. As a dude, phenomenal. Great person. Incredible. There's nothing wrong with him. He's great. Just sometimes the energy changes and it's just time for a change. I think that's where all sides are.
By the way, good people get divorced. It's okay. It happens. Okay, Kyler Murray, Arizona. I never thought initially this would happen. Steve Keim had picked a quarterback last year. Generally, general managers don't want to acknowledge, I don't like that pick. I'm going to move him. The more I read, the more I feel. I get the Cliff Kingsbury thing, Jay. Mm-hmm. If Kingsbury doesn't work, everybody in that building is getting fired. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, here's the thing. I know people want answers right now, but the honest truth is, A, he has his pro day this week. Let's see what happens there. But B, everything really comes down to when you sit and you have these personal meetings with these kids, right? They're going to go down now, and the GM and the head coach and the owner, they'll go and they'll spend an entire day and sometimes night with these players, right? Bears did a couple years ago with Mitch Trubisky. Nobody knew. They fell in love with Mitch Trubisky. That's it. Oh, my God, that's our guy. There are other times you sit with the quarterback. There were teams where they loved DeShone Kizer, sat down, had the meeting with him, like, we're off it, okay? Patrick Mahomes a couple years ago. Remember, this time, a few years ago, nobody had Patrick Mahomes in the top 15. He wasn't there.
That's okay? Right.
But he went in. One team told me that they sat with Patrick Mahomes, and it was a team with a very established quarterback who you'd never think they'd move on from. And they were ready to take Mahomes, and that's one of the reasons the Chiefs moved up. But he said he came into our meeting, and what happens is you'll give these players plays, right? Hey, go memorize some of our plays, and then you're going to come back, and we'll see what your retention is. He said Patrick Mahomes came back and literally said to him, you want me to regurgitate it right-handed or left-handed? What? You said, what? Are you serious? Dead serious. Like, he is, oh, my God. So now if Kyler Murray goes in there and absolutely wows him, then yes, you take that. Look, John Schneider, the Seattle Seahawks, he's the blueprint. Years ago, he goes out and trades for Matt Flynn from the Green Bay Packers, right? But then there's Russell Wilson sitting there. He's like, I don't care. This is the guy. I'm going to get Russell Wilson. I'm drafting him. We're moving on. If you find that guy you think is going to be it, you go get him. Even if you drafted another quarterback the year before, but it's really going to go down. I can't stress this enough. Everybody who says they know what they're going to do, it's going to go down that meeting because he could go in there and go meet with Arizona, and they can come away and go, It's just, we don't feel it. It's getting that feeling, that energy.
It does feel like Patriots 12 picks, they could, if Rosen is higher graded than anybody in this class, Tom's 41. I'm not saying
I don't know where they have him or what they.
Okay.
You know, and that's the thing.
Do you think there's a landing spot for Josh?
I don't know, because there's, you have to look at it. Look, the thing with Josh, one, where do they have him graded last year? But two, he did play this year and it was, they were awful this year.
Right.
So I don't know where they could look at it and go, on a bad team, he did certain things well, or they can look and go, man, bullets were flying. He wasn't
right.
What we were hoping. I don't know the answer to that, because every team is going to have a different view of Josh Rosen.
Jay Glazer joining us. Finally, listen, you can blame Antonio Brown and you can blame Le'Veon Bell, but Big Ben's a circus. Mm-hmm. Le'Veon was a mess. AB didn't end well. Todd Haley, a coach, was disruptive. That, to me, is on the culture. I'm not going to start blaming players. Big Ben's got his issues. Mm-hmm. AB's got his. Le'Veon's got his. Todd Haley has his. You know, Terry Bradshaw took heat a year ago for saying Tomlin sometimes is more cheerleader than coach. I would argue Pittsburgh's got a cultural issue here.
Yeah, I think certain things, they just kind of, you know, the cycle, you know, runs its course. This one kind of looks like it's run its course a little bit. Mike Tomlin's a phenomenal coach. Phenomenal. To have those personalities. And you said it. Like, Ben's getting a free pass here. Ben has like 19 personalities.
Yeah, passive aggressive in the press.
Oh my God, every day, every week is like, oh, Ben's head's going to fall off. Ben's playing without three arms. I mean, you know, there's a lot of personalities. They go and they draft these people with huge personalities. And they have, for an awful long time, got them to work and fit well. And I think right now it just looks like the dam is starting to just to burst open. And, you know, that's what happens. You know, they're going to get guys. We want these kind of renegade players. We want these guys with that personality. And, yeah, Mike Tomlin can rein those guys in. But all of a sudden there's so much drama there. It's going to be interesting, though, because Seattle went through the same thing. Same thing last year. We thought it was done and over. And all of a sudden, look what they did.
Yeah, Pete got a couple guys out of the room. Recalibrated, been success. Jay Glazer, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Every Monday at this time, we just don't feel that people admit in our business they're wrong. And everybody's wrong all the time. And so we call it where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, my missteps. In the last week, here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Danny Amendola, after a one-touchdown season with the Dolphins, has been released by the Dolphins. When New England bails on an aging player, always early, never late, they're almost always right. By the way, Amendola was on the show. He's a good guy. He was perfect in their system. But he just signed on with Detroit. This was one of the moves where people said, oh boy, Danny Amendola. And he had a couple of really nice moments in New England. I would not suggest he didn't. One touchdown. Dolphins had him, paid a lot for a year, and he's gone. Patriots right again.
Where Colin was wrong.
I said last couple of years that the Western Conference of the NBA was a little overstated. It's better than the East, but let's not make it into the SEC in football, where it's just so dominant. But Portland's better, Oklahoma City appears better, and Denver got way better. San Antonio is shockingly good, and the Lakers are now an 11th seed, potentially a 13th seed, a 14th seed by the end of the season. Last 10 games, they're 2-8. And LeBron, with a bunch of young guys, never even threatened to make it interesting after the All-Star break. The West is simply better than I gave it credit for most of this year.
Where Colin was right.
Everybody bailed on the Celtics. Oh my God, man overboard. And I said, time out. They'll get it together. Best coach in the East. Best roster in the East. Most playoff experience in the East. Most playoff success not connected to LeBron. Last several years in the East. They're going to be fine. Well, what do you know? They're playing great basketball. They've won 4 of 5. They crushed the Warriors at Oracle. And for the record, Gordon Hayward's playing very well. Last 3 games, averaging almost 20 and shooting 70%. Kyrie Irving seems to be better balanced since they had that little flight west and he got to sit down with the coaches. Don't always buy into every little drama in the regular season. For stars and good teams, the regular season can be a drain, not only physically but emotionally, and the Celtics are fine.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Rajon Rondo was actually one of the pickups the Lakers made that would really work. High IQ, tough, he'd be exactly what the doctor ordered. He's never worked with the Lakers. Optically, it's been a disaster. He's disengaged with his teammates and his coaching staff. He got into that fight with Chris Paul. He's rarely healthy. He's not in the least bit elevated Lonzo Ball. There's generally a reason why certain guys in the NBA bounce from team to team to team. And Rondo, there's a reason. By the way, he struggled to get along with Doc Rivers, one of the nicest guys in pro sports. He struggled to get along with Rick Carlisle. They bailed on him, and Rick Carlisle's a pretty easy guy to get along with, highly respected. The Rondo deals, I thought it made sense. It's never worked.
Where Colin was right?
A couple years ago, I got in trouble at the old place because I called out James Dolan of the New York Knicks. I called him a meatball. I said he was the most insecure owner in the NBA, the most incompetent, and I felt bad for Knicks fans. Well, he took it to another level of insecurity this weekend, having this confrontation with a fan.
Sell the team!
Anything I should sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
That's rude.
What's your opinion?
No, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
Really? Because a fan didn't throw anything, didn't make any threats. A fan yelled, sell the team. And you're going to now kick him out of the arena? I mean, Adam Silver is to a point. Is he not sitting in his office thinking, I got to find a buyer for the New York Knicks? I mean, Dolan is just remarkably insecure for a billionaire. It's hard to get your arms around how insecure he is.
Where Colin was wrong.
I laughed at my staff last week when they theorized a conspiracy theory. They said, LeBron went to watch Zion Williamson, saw how physically dominant he was, and thought to himself, hey, Magic, it's time to tank. Well, the Lakers are 2-9 since then. Lonzo Ball suddenly can't play for the rest of the year. LeBron's minutes have been reduced. He won't play back-to-backs. And oh, by the way, Kyle Kuzma now with a slight sprain may also miss significant time. Clearly, the Lakers are in tanking mode. That's not to say Lonzo Ball wasn't injured, but rest of the season? Kyle Kuzma? LeBron's never once limited time off the floor. Now, Brandon Ingram has a serious medical condition. I will not include him. But it is more than interesting that since LeBron visited Zion, they're not even competitive now. I mean, this is like a bad, subtle tank job. I mean, they're all in on it. Maybe I was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
I had my doubts about Russell Westbrook being restrained, new and improved Russell Westbrook, limiting his shots. Well, what do you know? Oklahoma City is in their last 10, 3-7 since he started shooting again, shooting 24 shots a game. He is incapable of being a great teammate long term. I kept saying, I'll believe it when I see it in the playoffs. He's not capable of being a 16-point shot a game guy. He is now shooting in the last 10 games, 25 shots a game, shooting 9.5 threes a game. His plus minus over the 10-game stretch is minus 47. And OKC was in solid position a third, is now tied for fourth. In the end, people are what they are. As Chris Broussard says, your game is your game. And Paul George is not benefiting from this.
Where Colin was wrong.
Because I had Paul George as the MVP 2 weeks ago. His last three games, he's shooting 31%. As Westbrook is shooting more, his stock is plummeting. He's now a distant third in the MVP race. He's missing open looks. He's frustrated. And suddenly he is struggling. And I said 2 weeks ago and last week that he's the best two-way player in the league. Kawhi's great, but is often not available. And Giannis is great, but doesn't control games late because he doesn't shoot threes. Paul George as Westbrook. The old Westbrook has emerged. Paul George is no longer an MVP leading candidate.
Where Colin was right.
The new football league, the AAF. I've said spring football will work and watch it get elevated. Well, what do you know? TNT announced they're going to televise two extra games. They've watched the product. They want to put it on. By the way, the NFL is considering a rule being used by the AAF, an onside kick rule, and people are paying attention to this league. Sports networks are absolutely, when Vince McMahon did his football thing years ago, you didn't have 32 sports networks all clamoring for live sports programming. But live sports programming is now the only thing that gets a rating on television. It's Netflix or live sports. And so this league, a spring football league for 8 to 10 weeks, it's got everybody's attention. The NFL is going to borrow one of its kickoff rules, and TNT is now going to add games this year.
Where Colin was wrong.
When those Kyler Murray number one rumors came out, I thought he's tiny. They just drafted a quarterback. I think they like Josh Rosen. But last week, it appears that it's more than a 50-50 proposition. That Kyler Murray, the little guy, 5'9", 5'10", this is kind of the new standard in the NFL. If a guy's that athletic, you're not going to worry about his height. You're just going to go with it. Big 12 quarterbacks, people used to wince. Now between Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, they're the hot quarterbacks because more of the Big 12 offense is coming to the NFL. I never thought Arizona would bail on Rosen, mostly because they just picked him in the top 10. And they had whiffed on many of their first-round picks. And if they moved off Rosen, I thought it was suggesting they whiffed on that one too. But they got Cliff Kingsbury. He's got a worker. Everybody's getting flushed out and fired in Arizona. And it looks like this is more now than a 50-50 proposition.